Are you taking action in your life consistent with desired outcomes? Personal accountability is the key. Impact Corporation is dedicated to helping individuals and organizations improve performance through accountability. Learn about Impact's training and coaching products at impaqcorp.com or call 310-275-0055.
Join the He Said, She Said accountability team, Mark Samuel and Sophie Sheesh of Impact Corporation, on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings 9 to 11 here on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome again back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Of course, one of my fun times on the air is to partner with Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation, our accountability guru. Mark, welcome to the show again.
Thanks, Zara.
You bet. You bet.
Well, Happy New Year.
Indeed. And we're going to continue saying that for what, the next 6 months, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know if you've noticed this, but certainly all around, especially around the New Year's time, everyone was saying Happy New Year to each other, and everyone was positive, and everyone was excited. And I'm thinking, why not have it last 6 months?
You got it. That's right. And then when we get to that inflection point, we say, are you getting ready for the Christmas holiday?
Exactly.
And wrapping up those commitments and celebrating wherever it is you are in your process for the year. Oh, great.
Well, as long as we don't tell the department stores, because they go crazy.
Isn't that true? I don't want to see that green and white decorations too soon.
Exactly.
Well, our frequent listeners know that Mark is also the author of a terrific book that I highly commend our listeners. It's called The Power of Personal Accountability, Achieve What Matters to You. He also wrote one specifically for organizations. So the idea, of course, of accountability, meaning people can count on us. This isn't just the push responsibility and you're the one that gets the stucky type standpoint. But Mark, talk to us real quick and remind us. We start with your model, which is like a figure eight, if everyone can envision that. And in the center is the word intention. And we, of course, started the new year, not resolutions, but intentions. And then take us up on that loop where we're headed here today.
Yeah, so what we covered in the last go-around, in the last show, was recognizing where we are, recognizing where we'd like to be, and really taking a look at that in a very comprehensive way without necessarily moving to solution yet, but being aware that as soon as we have the awarenesses in the recognized stage, we might actually begin to see some changes take place. Once you've had the recognition, then the next stage is really taking ownership for your part of what you're recognizing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very important stage, because just because you might recognize that there's a problem or something that you'd like to change doesn't mean that you have full ownership in it. You might have co-ownership in it. You might have, in some cases, you know, if you're working in an organization, almost no ownership in it, you know, from that standpoint. Yet that doesn't mean that you don't have an involvement in making the improvement. It just means that you might not own it 100%.
Well, and I think what anybody would say who are in really important relationships with people, that the relationships that are lasting aren't about 50-50. They're about 100%, 100%, right?
That's absolutely right. And as soon as we start measuring levels of ownership,
yep,
we can easily get ourselves into major trouble.
Yeah, and I think your analogy or your thought about applying this to organizations is so important, because many people fall into the trap, and I think we all do at different points in time, of saying, hey, that's not my job, or how can I possibly touch that? I don't have the resources, or I'm not in control, or I don't have the authority over. But yet you can see how those kind of things just eat away at organizations' ability to perform or grow or buffet through tough times like we've got right now.
And what you've just done so eloquently is describe what is referred to in our victim loop as denial.
Denial, yeah.
And it's so easy to go into denial, to say why we shouldn't have a role in something. And boy, I see this in families. I see this in the workplace. People wanting to opt out of any ownership and coming up with the excuse that generally is a denial of their involvement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the idea then of ownership on our part, are there a series of steps or deliberate milestones you think that you guide your clients through, Mark, or you can recommend to us today?
You know, it's actually quite simple. It's looking at it, because we don't want to get in the percentage game of saying, do I have any part in this? Do I touch this problem? Am I affected by the problem? Because even if I'm just affected by it, by definition, I at least have the role of surfacing it as a problem that is my ownership. Even if I'm not the one that has to come up with a decision or change or solution, my role in surfacing it is still a part of my ownership.
But, you know, that can be a double-edged situation, though, because many people feel, or you can get labeled then as the whistleblower or the complainer in absence of your being one that really has a capability, knowledge, network, whatever, to even be able to offer solutions.
That's right. And that's why when you're taking ownership, really what you want to do is think of yourselves as a part of a bigger picture.
Good point.
Because oftentimes if I am frustrated by something, either communication that's not happening or lacking clear direction or I'm not sure what the priorities are or, you know, we don't have the resources, my guess is, and almost always this is accurate, is someone else is having that exact same problem.
That's
and
true.
It might even be the manager that I need to, you know, surface this to. They might have the same problem. So as much as we can do it from not from a selfish place of how this affects me and it's all about me, but more about, gee, here's an issue that I'm having a challenge with. I wonder if others are having a challenge with it, and is there anything we can do to change it? And if there's not something we can do to change it, is there a way that we can support each other through it?
Or perhaps is there someone who can help you understand why this is or isn't a problem?
Yeah,
I know
it's
the other people.
Absolutely.
You just may not be fully informed to understand that bigger picture.
That's right. And again, if we take ownership, full ownership means that we're not just affected by the situation, but we're also affected by how we're dealing with the situation. So in other words, it's not, you know, it goes back to that phrase that I learned at the University of Santa Monica when I got my master's degree there. The way you relate to the issue is the issue.
Yes.
So it's not just taking, you know, not just taking ownership for where there's a problem with the organization or where there's a problem with your communication. It is how am I responding to that problem? And then by the way I'm responding to it, adding to the problem for myself. Because I'm in a reactive mode, because I'm getting triggered, because I'm putting meaning to something that maybe they don't think I'm good enough to share information with, or maybe, you know, I'm getting jealous of someone else's, you know, promotion instead of me being promoted, and all that now becomes part of my frustrations and my anxieties and my pressures and all the things that I'm going through in my own consciousness.
Well, and also if you're going through that in your own consciousness, it probably will reflect outwardly so too, and people will come to the conclusion the only reason you're bringing up a set of circumstances is to indeed just serve your need as opposed to that of the greater good of the group of people.
That's right. And so what we're really learning here about ownership, it's not just taking ownership for what I can change outside of myself. It's actually taking ownership for how can I change my response internally to what's going on outside myself.
And you know something, though, that's not an easy thing to do. Right?
I mean, no.
How to indeed, those conversations we have to have with the committee in our head, to say, okay, Zara, this is not what it appears to be, or it could be something beyond this. So quiet. And I think, you know, in our last show segment, Mark, we talked about this power of the neutral mind, of not being judgmental, right?
That's right. And something that you've shared so many times before that I'm learning more and more, and that is the only way you can do that is to pause.
Yeah,
and stop the chatter and stop the train of negative thought and take a different perspective.
Well, but you know, this idea of ownership, there's some real traps around that, aren't there? I mean, your book, you lay these out very nicely, the power trap, the martyr trap, the denial blame trap. The martyr trap is an interesting one. So your comment or your reflection there, Mark, is this the idea of, well, I'm going to be the one that's going to, you know, sacrifice headlong into trying to shift this?
Yeah, exactly. It can show up in many ways, but it can even look positive to the outside world, and yet you're still in the martyr mode. And quite honestly, I know this one because I do it sometimes, where I think the problem has to be solved by me, and I don't gain this. I don't solicit the support of others. I go at it alone, thinking, okay, I'm the one who's going to take this on because I don't want to have burden anybody else. And it's totally a martyr role.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, sometimes that is expected in certain company cultures that, you know, you step in and you become that kind of heroic figure in the process, because that's what you get recognized and rewarded for.
Well, and you just said the magic word. We do it based on the possibility of being the hero.
Yes.
And we might have grown up with that. I know I certainly did. You know, in terms of the shows I watch were Superman and Zorro and the Lone Ranger and Batman. And, you know, I watched those because I wanted to be that. And I've carried that. What I've learned and through my awareness is I've carried that into my life. But it really shows up as a martyr, because I'm going to try and take things on that are impossible to do by myself. But I want to be the hero so bad, I'm willing to do that. And then I end up struggling, stressing, and then burning myself out.
And then also not contributing to an organization or a relationship in the way in which that you really wanted to.
That's exactly correct.
That's exactly right. Well, Mark, again, we're going to right here at the top of the hour, so why don't we take a quick break for the news and also commercials. We'll come back and dive into this subject of ownership in a much deeper way. Thanks again, everyone, for being with us here on Circles of Change, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Zara Larson. I'm talking again over this bridge segment with Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation. Thanks again, Mark.
It's great to be here, Zara.
You bet. Well, we're talking, of course, deeper into the model of personal accountability, which seems to be a theme that will serve us all well at this time of year and then some. We're talking about that importance of ownership and ownership of your logical part of whatever the circumstances are, the opportunity to improve or the opportunity to amend something. And I wanted to raise a challenge that I know I personally have struggled with through most of my life. And that would be, I'll acknowledge I'm a firstborn child, so was always kind of the head of the pack, expected to be the head of the pack, I'll say. And it wasn't until probably mid-career I started waking up to the fact that I was living by the rule of the road of almost I'm the one that has to make it happen regardless of the cost. And
yes.
So finding myself constantly in situations that required changing. And by the way, I was passionate about being part of that agenda, and I think quite good at leading it. But at times, just getting myself way too overcommitted, and in some regards, crowding out other people's abilities to contribute.
Yes. And that's where it you know, those kinds of habit patterns get created very early on in our life. They almost become automatic, you know, which is what makes them a habit. And so, in my mind, you know, besides the awareness of it, it's so important then to create a clear intention around it. And it might be two different kinds of intentions that you create that help to actually deal with this. One would be the intention of including others. So I've had to do that because I love solving a problem by myself. I find myself very similar to you in that way. And so I get great pleasure in a problem shows up with the team and I go off to my, you know, to my office or my cubicle based on the workplace I'm in and try and solve it myself, when other people are now using each other to solve it and even using people outside the organization to solve it, you know, based on their network. And they get the problem done so much faster, even though I have the glory situation of, you know, coming up with a solution myself. So having an intention to include others is one way to address this. But the other way is, again, goes back to how do I want to treat myself?
Yeah, that's right.
Because, again, when I've noticed when I move into that kind of mode, I'm actually making things outside myself more important than inside myself. That gets back to the kindness intention that I've talked about earlier today. How do I be kinder to myself? How do I begin to acknowledge my own limitations? How do I begin to acknowledge my aging, you know, and do things that are self-supportive as opposed to just accommodating whatever the workplace demands, whatever my family demands, whatever my friends demand, at which point I'm now meeting everybody's needs except my own.
Well, and I think what we're wanting to remind ourselves, though, here for our listeners, too, is this isn't about acknowledging your own limitations so you can say stop, but rather instead so you can say, you know, my skills or my capabilities could be better used over on these three things, and how can I help someone else step up to be part of these others? So this idea of ownership, meaning the ownership of sharing even.
That's right. And ultimately, when we talk about ownership in the highest sense of it, and this is what we do at least in organizations, but also with families, it's not single ownership, it's shared ownership.
Shared ownership, yeah. But then that goes back to what we were commenting on before the news there at the top of the hour. Shared ownership means also shared glory, fame, reward, recognition. And that
That's
may
right.
not be exactly how we've had to grow up in an organization or survive in a family unit.
That's exactly right. And at some point, we have to make the choice to say, gee, do I want to be voted the most valuable player on the team, or would I rather win the World Series?
Yeah, that's true. In fact, I recall from your home state of California, of course, that Ronald Reagan, when he was president, had a plaque on his desk that always was that back credenza, and it said, there's no limitation to how far a man can go or what he can do, so long as he doesn't have to take the credit for it.
Yes.
And so this idea of ego aside,
right.
you know, this idea of ownership, like we said, you have a clear intention, you make a choice to recognize an opportunity to improve, and now you want to own it. But your whole point was ownership, though, could be as the doer, the overseer, or the helper. And sometimes the being the helper means being in background.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes it's even being the cheerleader that just keeps everyone in a positive mode. That's as much a helper as anybody. It's not just a helper physically. It's a helper emotionally. It's a helper mentally. And those can be sometimes your most critical players.
You know, the other question I would ask, this idea of ownership that gets a little bit fuzzy in this day and age of modern organizations, you know, there was a time when companies truly had, you know, the chain of command and all the expertise inside the firm. So you could walk down the hall to someone in the test department who then could go to the analytical department and involve purchasing and so on. And then you could walk down to your factory and see it build. Of course, I'm showing my own engineering manufacturing background. But, you know, in this day and age with the virtual organization being so prevalent and how we go about doing what we do in many industries is at arm's length through, you know, outsourced or partner firms, that this idea of ownership also then requires a tremendous amount of trust and relationship, which, of course, I know are at the core of our discussion here of accountability.
Yes, and it's not just the virtual side of things. It's also even within organizations. It's no longer where something can be accomplished in just one department. Mm-hmm. It usually requires two, three, four, and no one has full ownership for the result. We only have ownership for the part that we play in getting the result. And the problem is we've kept so separate, we're not really managing or no one's taking ownership for what I call the in-between. What goes in between from function to function to function? The handoffs between, you know, in a hospital, the handoff between care inside the hospital to home care, as an example. How does that communication work? How does the communication work between shifts? Where you're now switching everybody out, and now the patient literally has, you know, or the caretakers have no history of that patient's care in the last 8 hours unless it gets communicated. And so, you know, we can't get the results without a shared ownership and a shared responsibility and losing this notion that I'm only responsible for what happens in my particular job description and my title during my shift.
But, you know, this is a real challenge because if you think about how people are hired for positions, here is your clear position description that we're hiring you into. And so even, Mark, you and I have talked about the idea of accountability, that the first platitude that allows accountability to happen is to have an understanding and a contract and an agreement. So what but you're raising, though, is the idea that part of that contract probably for really good, effective organizations requires a very open discussion that regardless of what the job description says here, folks, at the end of the day, we're only all as good as our weakest link, or probably more positively put, we're all part of that continuous circle.
That's right. And is my job description about supporting the organization and being successful or carrying out a job description?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd want it to be the former. Because I want everybody focused on what's good for the organization, not just what am I doing in my simple job description. You know, there was a vice president of an insurance company that put it really well. And he said that, you know, we're a benchmark organization. If there's a crisis that affects three different departments, I know that the director of each department will go into their department and solve the problem associated with that crisis. But he says, what I also know to be true is that not one of those directors will get the other two directors in a room to discuss how do we prevent that problem from happening, because nobody has 100% authority over that. So they don't even think to do that. They're just solving the problem in their department. And he says, we've become an organization that's good at solving problems. We just don't fix them. And I thought that was such a great way to put it. And he further went on and said, what we're really developing a core competency in is crisis management, not really effective performance.
Well, and that goes back to the fact that you and I were joking about as kids, what shows did we watch? It was when the superhero stepped in to solve the crisis.
That's right.
You know, and so again, taking us back to this idea of personal accountability and being proactive, but yet at the same time recognizing the human condition is going to come with mishaps, misfires, bad plans, things that have to be corrected, and that not to beat ourselves up about that or the other people we're working with, but to say, okay, now how do we step forward?
Yes, and it really brings to mind that when you ask the question about ownership, it's more important to have ownership for the result, not ownership for the activities that get you the result. Because ultimately, it's the result that you're looking for.
And I think that is something we've done a previous show on, that whole idea of, are we stuck in the trap of thinking activities versus thinking about results is really what we're all about.
That's right. And can I have a successful day and feel happy and joyful even if I don't complete all my activities because I did focus on the results I wanted to get through the day, I did the most important things, I kept a good attitude, I promoted good relationships, and yeah, I didn't get everything ticked off my to-do list, but boy, it was a very successful day because the result was great.
Boy, and I think that's exactly, you caught, I was going to say those very same words, but now this runs contrary to my feeling at the end of the day, I could knock five things off my list.
That's right, and that's why it's so important to take a moment and just say, if I can't get everything done, what's the five most important things that I think is realistic, and really go inside and see if there's an alignment inside of ourselves to accomplish those five things. And it's done in a quiet space. It's done with almost the higher self being connected. You know, sometimes I'll even ask, I say, you know, whether it's God or my higher self, what do you think I should be doing today? Like, what's the most important thing for me to accomplish? And sometimes it's a to-do item. Sometimes it's, hey, maintain a joyful attitude throughout the whole day because that's what people need in the workplace right now.
You know, and I felt that today for myself personally. I just needed to slow down this morning and enjoy being outdoors, which, of course, this time of year we have the pleasure of being able to do in Arizona. And then walking away with a sense now of real clarity and direction.
Yes.
But in some regard, though, that took some real bold move on my part to say, well, I'm just not going to get those other five things done. I'll have to cancel this call, you know, rearrange my schedule. It's a very different way of operating.
Well, and if we're going to move to, again, to a spiritual level of this, is it possible it's not just about including others, but how do we include Spirit's grace in what we do? Like, boy, I don't know how I'm going to get all this done. I've got way too much on my plate. You know, is there a way that in the universe you can support me in accomplishing everything that I have in front of me? And boy, it is amazing how everything will just sort of line up. Not all the time, but boy, plenty of times where, you know, I've got just 1 hour, you know, where I need to get something done, and someone calls and says, oh, can I do that, you know, take that space, that's the only time I have. And I go, God, it's perfect.
It's perfect, exactly. But I think this comes back, Mark, to your earlier comment about how often we are not necessarily open to reaching out and asking for help, whether that be God's help or a family member's help or a work colleague's help.
Yes. And I'll tell you, that is one of the habits that I am working very diligently on to overcome, because I, growing up as an only child, mm-hmm. I thought that everything was on my shoulders to accomplish. And I am now learning very much to not only partner with others, but to also partner with Spirit, with God, to say, I can't do it all. Help me out. Let's see where the grace can come in.
Well, and also in that process, you realize that maybe a good chunk of the things you got on the list don't even need to be done, really.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I think that
at least not today.
At least not today. That's right. I think I shared on one show this exercise that someone, a coach, guided me through once, and that was, I challenge you today to be able to get five no's from people.
Yeah.
Go forth. And I said, now what does this mean? And she told the story about how she went and pressed that cause to the point that she was like trying for number four no. She was dashing to an airplane, and there was someone sitting on a bench reading the morning newspaper as she was going to the airport, and she just stopped in front of this man and said, excuse me, I forgot to grab my paper on the way to the flight. There's an article in there I wanted to read. Would you mind if I took your paper? And the man looked at her and said, sure, no problem. Here's my paper. And she kind of said, rats, I couldn't get it. And she said, that was the ultimate test. I mean, there was absolutely no rationality in her request whatsoever. And the person said, oh, sure, here, you can have my paper.
Yeah.
So the idea that there are a lot more yeses than there are noes by our having the chance and owning up and figuring out that piece of ownership in the accountability model.
And that's really the value of shared ownership. It helps to grow people. Everyone gets a sense of acknowledgement. That gentleman got to feel like he was helping somebody out today, and so he felt better about himself. Everybody wins.
That's exactly right. Well, Mark Samuel, again, thanks for joining us. For our listeners, this is Dr. Zara Larson and my guest, Mark Samuel, my partner. And we talked about the book, The Power of Personal Accountability, and we'll pick up with other steps in future shows. Thanks, and have a great balance of the weekend, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Zara.
You bet.
Are you taking action in your life consistent with desired outcomes? Personal accountability is the key. Impact Corporation is dedicated to helping individuals and organizations improve performance through accountability. Learn about Impact's training and coaching products at impaqcorp.com or call 310-275-0055.